oftentimes we hear familiar passages like the prodigal son, and sometimes we can almost be, shall we say, immune to hearing such a passage with freshness and how it may apply to our lives in a way that we had not even considered before. Such was the challenge and experience for me as I wrestled with this text, or let me say, this text wrestled with me this week. You see, traditionally, it's been about the prodigal for me, or me being the prodigal of God's child. In some ways, can't we all relate, at least at some point of our life, if not specifically, but in a general way, to the journey of the prodigal? You know, for me, I've shared with some of you, there was a wandering time in the wilderness called the University of Mississippi, my first 5 or 6 years of adulthood. Some of that was a prodigal type nature. I had grown up deeply committed to the faith, wrestled with a call to ministry, Kathy, even in high school. And as one of my pastors liked to say, then I went to Ole Miss and ran with the devil for about 5 years. Not altogether. I hung out with Manya some too. But in many ways, that journey in my life was a turning away from the faith, a disconnect with my father like that of the prodigal. And when I, dear friends, was introduced to the grace of God in a powerful way, this text became so real to me, because in many ways the prodigal story was my story. I thought of how I had had a close, intimate, wholly intimate relationship with God as a young person, and then all of a sudden one day I just broke that relationship in my wandering years in college. Stopped calling. Stop answering when he had called. Knock on the door, I'd close the door. I didn't want to visit. I didn't go to worship. I broke the relationship. Imagine had we had family members who treated us that way. For no reason, no explanation, simply ended our relationship one day. How would we feel? Be hurt. Be reticent to receive them back, right? If they came to us as the prodigal did in our text today. But friends, that was the aha moment, the chill bump moment, the glory to God moment for me in my journey of faith, when I saw that God loved me so much to welcome me back into fellowship and as part of the loving family. I have been the prodigal. Maybe you have in some way as we reflect on this text today. But deeper still in this passage, it's not only a story of the prodigal. It's a story of the brother, right? And all too often, I confess that I embrace the role of the brother in my life. Sometimes I'm filled with jealousy, desiring what my brother or sister has that I don't. It was such a terrible sin that God made it one of the commandments, right? Don't covet what the other has. Don't be so consumed with what you don't have in comparison to your brother and sister that you miss the joy of your salvation. I am the brother at times. Maybe you wrestle with that tendency. And this scripture hits home to all of us as we seek to be restored with the life-giving love of our Lord. Not only is our journey away from being the prodigal, but our journey away from being the jealous brother. This text today is more than stories about children in their weariness and in their rebellion, in their unrighteousness, in their jealous consumption. Most of all, for me, this passage is about our God and what God's transformation love does for us as His children. So let's focus a couple of places beyond the children today on the Heavenly Parent and His Son and our Savior Jesus. The Father. Wow. What a response in our text today. I hope you hear this passage in a way that you've not before. That as the Son, let's do a retelling of it a bit this morning. As the Son came to His senses, as He is doing this atrocious thing of feeding swine's vents that they weren't even supposed to be in the company with. He had gotten so desolate, He was actually feeding pigs and wanted to eat what they were eating. He had hit what we like to call rock bottom. And He made up this mantra. He practiced His speech. Isn't that what we do? When we want to reconcile with someone, Lamont, we want to go over it. We want to write it down. We want to have it planned. I'm going to say this. Then I'm going to say that. And I'm going to ask for forgiveness. The Son had His speech prepared. He rehearsed it in our passage today. And then this beautiful thing happens. A loving Father showed up. The Son began that journey home. His father, Deborah, saw Him in a distance. Instead of waiting, He did what a loving parent does. He took off running toward Him, something a Hebrew man would have never done in that culture. It would have brought shame upon Him to act so undignified. But there was nothing more important and more essential in that moment than communicating His love for the lost. And the Son begins His speech. Father, I've sinned against heaven and before You. I'm no longer worthy to be called Your son. And at that moment, the Father interrupts. Did you hear it in our passage? He says, quick, bring out a robe. Not just a robe, the best robe. And put it on Him. Put sandals on His feet. Put a ring, not just a ring, the family ring. Because He, once again, is My child. Can you fathom a love like that? And that God would claim you with that same passion as His child. But I heard this passage as I shared with you this week in a way I'd not before. What if the brother had acted differently? What if the brother, instead of being consumed with jealousy and his own well-being and his own health and safety, maybe we would say, what if he saw this as an opportunity to give of himself to help reconcile his brother to the family? Wow, wouldn't that have been something? But that's not the way Jesus preached it in our text. But friends, I stand before you today, even though Jesus didn't preach it, I think that's what Jesus lived in our text. See, what I'm saying is our Lord Jesus Christ became the reconciling brother. See, the rest of the parable of the prodigal isn't that just the Father offered forgiving love? He gave that forgiving love because Jesus, the other brother, paid the price for the prodigal. He gave all that he had, his portion of the inheritance. And his very life's blood and well-being, so that you would be called child of the Most High God. So what are we going to do about this? What do we do in response to this life-giving love of our Lord Jesus Christ? Christ, I was plagued, Jennifer, plagued, that's the word, with this passage that you read today. And how I hear it along with the parable of the prodigal. Listen to these words again that our brother Paul and our sister Jennifer said to us today. From 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he talks about that new creation. That too is a very familiar passage to many of us, right? In Christ, we are a new creation. The old life is gone. A new life has come. We like that. We embrace that. We love that. We understand that. We are made new in Christ. But then Paul goes to meddling. Paul says this. As new creation, we understand all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us, that's you and me, the ministry of reconciliation. Now he goes on and says the word reconcile, reconciliation, reconciled about 3 or 4 more times in that passage. Even Jody can get it. And sometimes I have to have it repeated. He's telling us we are to be about reconciliation. You see, we are the ones who were reconciled to God the Father through Jesus the Son and our brother. So he's saying, as you receive that gift, give it to the world around you. Reconcile. What does it mean? My mama knows what it means to reconcile. She reconciles her bank statement every month. She wants it right. And when we reconcile something, it means that we're in agreement. Both sides, we've come to agreement. In a business sense, in a family sense, it means so much more, doesn't it? Means our relationship has been restored. Friends, we live in a world full of escalation, destruction, war, everything but reconciliation. We see it in our own nation, our culture. And oftentimes, when people are at odds and there's division, there has to be a winner and a loser. And we're seeing that played out so tragically in Ukraine. For me to win, you have to lose. And oftentimes there's carnage, there's destruction, and there's lives lost. We see that also all around us. Maybe not as graphic as the war-torn pain that our brothers and sisters in Ukraine and Russia are experiencing. But even at home, we see lives destroyed over dissension, backbiting, and my way must win and yours must lose. We understand that's part of our culture, part of the world we live in, but my plea and my plague with this scripture today is that can't the church be different? Are we called to be different? than the world we serve? Paul seems to think so. And say, in the midst of war, disagreement, anger, and jealousy, I want you to be my ambassadors. That's the word Paul goes on to say, to reconcile the world. To be one in love as God the Father loved you, O prodigal child. Amen. I don't know about y'all. I feel like I've been to church.